What's up, guys? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. And thank you so much for being here with us again and continuing this journey with me. I'm so excited. As a friendly reminder, I would love for you to please go on to our reviews and give us a rating. That way others that are creative like yourself will have an opportunity to see this in their algorithms, because the more reviews we get, the better we're going to be accessible for others to take a listen to. And that song you just heard is called Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. You can download Mi Corazón wherever you stream your favorite music, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, etc. And for today, your one-stop shop things for all creativity, spirituality, entrepreneurship. We have an amazing guest, you guys. I love this person so much. We've known each other for, I think, 6+ years now, which is awesome. And so it's just like a full circle moment. We've had some highs, some lows throughout our experience as well. But even initially, I mean, I don't know for you, but for me, it was like instant connection. I'm like, whoa, we've met in the past. We've had some kind of connection beyond which we'll go into more details. But let me talk to you a little bit about this individual. Her name is Cheetah, you guys. Welcome, Cheetah. Yes, Cheetah is a hairstylist, colorist based in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you for saying hi. I'm just giving you a little bio, beauty. And she is known for her creative hair color, blondes, hair extensions, and styling. She has built her career using social media and teaching color and style classes on stages at beauty shows nationwide. From reality TV, beauty expert contestant to award won in the beauty industry, her accomplishments are diverse. She is the go-to artist responsible for creating looks for brands such as L'Oreal, Pravana, Kione, with product launches and new color campaigns. Cheetah, welcome, my little Conchita.
Hi.
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great.
Thank you so much for being here. Oh my God, 6 years. It's been 6 years.
But they really flew by.
I can't. It's crazy. Yeah, I feel like I've known you much longer, but that's because of so many other reasons that I just kindredly connected with you. I mean, we're both Latinos. We're both from like East LA, and our caretakers.
I'm not from East LA. I'm from California.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's still Little Mexico, right?
It is Little Mexico. Yeah, I don't know why I assumed you were from. Maybe because of Mi Corazón, the restaurant, and your friend. Yeah, possibly. Who I love as well. Well, how you been? What's going on? How are you?
I've been busy. I've been good. Just moving forward. I mean, that's a really big question.
Yeah, I know. It is. I know. We're going to dive deep into all the things. But one of the reasons that I wanted to have you here is because you are so special to me. And you have this energy about you that, you know, is just calming. And I feel like that's why we met on American Beauty Star. If you're not aware and you're watching this or listening to us on podcast, you can stream American Beauty Star. It is a reality competition show that was on Lifetime, and now it's on Tubi as well as Amazon Prime. And we were partners, we were teammates, and we made it to the finales, and it was an awesome experience. You'd be on the stress, and yeah, you just made me feel welcome and calm and just had just vibes immediately. Like what was your take on that too?
Yeah. I mean, I just like knew I could trust you from like our first encounter, and that's huge with me, like trust and, yeah. So I was comfortable and happy and
good.
We killed it. We killed it.
Oh yeah. I'm so proud of our work. You were such a delight to work with. I couldn't have done that without you for sure. But this is about you. This is your show and your journey. And like I said, because you have that energy and that light and that essence, I want others to just kind of get a little experience from that too. And tell us a little bit of your origin story. Like, where, I thought East LA, but not East LA. So California. So what's the background? How did you grow up? What was that like?
So my mom is from South Carolina, and my dad is from Zacatecas, Mexico, and they both met up in Salinas, California, which is like a central coast town, but it's also known for farming, and it's by Monterey Bay and San Jose, and it's just like all around these farming communities. And so I grew up with, well, everybody was Mexican, and I didn't know anybody wasn't Mexican or white until I was like 12. And I really thought Elvis Presley was Mexican too, up until
I
that
mean, he
point.
looks it, right?
I was like, are you sure? You know, but
The
yeah.
hair.
Yeah. So I grew up in this little town, and it was because there was a huge Mexican population, but everybody came, like they were immigrants, and they, I would say 75% of them were working in the fields. So those people aren't taking care of their kids necessarily because they don't have the means to. They're working all
Right.
day. And so I grew up with those kids. And so what happens in those societies is gangs, like, you know, like in LA, and when, you know, so I grew up around that, but I always loved to just be creative. I loved art. I wanted to move to Italy to be a painter, and those were my dreams. And but you know, a lot of girls growing up, like, just ended up getting pregnant very young, and there's just like so much, you know, going on when you grow up around that you're just trying to survive. And I survived by being creative and being different and coloring my hair and listening to really cool music and
Love
cutting
that.
school and going to San Francisco and, you know, shopping. And I just found my outlets. I've always been able to find my outlets regardless of what is going on around me. And even if it's negative, like, I don't know, I just from a young age just pushed through. My dad and my mom were not together, and I would visit him like every weekend growing up. I was with my dad, but he eventually moved back to Mexico when I was about 12. So I would go visit him, and we already had all our travels to Mexico together. So now I was traveling by myself to Mexico. And so I got inspired by a lot of the art there and a lot of the culture. And that's pretty much how I was raised. And
I love that.
because I grew up around like gang activity and all that, I also had my dad, who I knew worked so hard to come from another country. And he worked at a chocolate factory, and he
Nice.
ended up retiring, but he like lived the American dream. Like, he bought a home, he had a pension, and he retired and moved back to Mexico. So I always had that instilled in me that we as Mexicans come from a culture and not just the consequences of, like, you know, the economy or what's happening here to us. He always taught me and to made me very proud to be Mexican and what it really was. So I really like have used that in my life and my career, especially to like bring honor to my parents, both my parents, because they both came from nothing, but I have all the opportunities that so many people want in the world. And so I just feel like it is a dishonor to not do the most with it, you know?
Wow. Well said. Oh my God. I love that. Like, more proofs of why I love you so much. And yeah, instantly we connected because we're both Latinos, because we're both Mexican. And did you grow up speaking Spanish when you would visit Mexico? Was that something that your dad taught you too? Or did
So my
you, it's
dad,
something you gotta like maintain.
my dad was in his 40s when he had me, and my dad was really, really, of course, struggling as a Mexican man to make it here. And he faced a lot of racism and, you know, things like that. So he didn't want me to know
That
Spanish.
makes sense.
He wanted it to be easier for me because he used to tell me he can't even walk to the park because the police harass him and say, "Hey, you fucking Mexican, what are you doing walking around here? People are calling us. What are you walking?" And he's just walking and exploring, but he was perceived as a threat. So he was really trying to assimilate, you know. But when I would go to Mexico, of course I learned a lot from my tias and my cousins. And I actually had one tia who ended up having Alzheimer's. And I love telling this story because she had, well, she had dementia and she would repeat herself and she taught me so much.
That's so cool. I love that.
Doesn't even know it,
Not
but I learned so much because she would just
Thea
repeat herself.
dementia. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, no, I can definitely see dad was a huge impact as far as work ethics and passion and the artistic culture part of it, and you always infusing that into your work, into your style of color, into your style of cutting. Like I've always been really inspired with how you approach your crafts, and you really think it out throughout from beginning to end, which is probably why we were such a good match, because I feel like I do the same thing when it comes to my craft, and we're very meticulous and we have a vision. So that's what it is. You're a visionary, and what is happening in your head, you can actually manifest and create with your hands, which is freaking powerful. Like, that's so cool. You know, I love watching the videos of you taking care of dad, and I'm getting like emotional now. It was just beautiful, your connection. You know what I mean? Like, it's really the father-daughter connection is just a beautiful thing. So I'm just proud of you that you were able to keep that up and bring it to wherever you are, in salon, in studio, on stage, or where we were in front of a large audience competing in a chance of winning and sharing our story. And I remember getting so many messages about us being like one of the first Latinos to be on a competition show of that magnitude. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that we connected, we showed through. I mean, what our first challenge was a Chola Chic look. Like, come on, could it not have been a better match? Like, that's so cool. So okay, San Francisco, fast forward a little bit to now your adulthood. And when did the career take off? Because you're so accomplished. Like, you've been verified on Instagram since before American Beauty Star. Like, because you were just it. Like, you were that educator. You know what I mean? So tell us that journey. Walk us through a little bit of that.
How I got my career going.
Yeah, as a cosmetologist.
Okay, so growing up, I was doing my hair and burning scalps and all that stuff.
Not the
mine
scalp.
included, because we were
Yes.
all Mexican and we all needed to be blonde, not orange. So yeah, when I was about 18, my mom, right out of high school, my mom was like, "You need to go do hair." And I was like, "I don't want to do hair." So I went and did hair for a l I went to school for a little bit and I dropped out. And life happened. I ended up having two daughters. I worked just normal 9-to-5 jobs, safe, safety, you know. My dad was in my ear about go to school for business. So I went to like some accounting thing. And so I did business accounting for car dealerships. And but I always, looking back now, I always kept it creative because I was like doing, one certain type of accounting, and then I'd go over to payroll and be like, "Hey, I want to learn how to do that." I just can't sit still. So I learned the whole business office, and
Nice.
that's what brought me to Vegas because my boss was moving here, and she offered me a job, and I was like, "Oh wow, nice hot weather." And the opportunity for me as a single mom to purchase a home with a swimming pool, it's not going to really happen for me in California. So I was like, I'll go there. So I came here with $20 in my
Are you
pocket.
serious?
I had just actually wrecked my car too, like the day or two before I was about to fly out here. I still came out. And yeah, I had $20. My friend let me stay with her for 2 weeks until I got my first paycheck. And then I drove back in her car and got my girls. And
Wow.
yeah. And so
I did not know that.
eventually her husband, who was a correctional officer at the time, was like, "Why don't you come? They're hiring. Then we need women. They need women. They'll hire you." And
Oh, I do
it's
remember
like
this.
benefits and all that. And I was like, "Oh my God, there's no way they're gonna hire me. Like I grew up with like prison gang members. You know, I'm like, nah, I've been arrested in California for like bar fights, like pieces, you know, they call them when they get it. Yeah. And so I was like, there's no way. But I also wanted to go back to beauty school because I was like, I just need to make my own schedule. But my girls are a certain age and I don't want to not be there for them, you know.
Yeah.
And I flipped a coin and the coin flipped to apply for the prison. And then
literally you flipped a coin. Yeah.
And then I just ended up one day I passed everything, background checks, you know, and I was previously married to a felon in California.
Maybe they didn't care that it was a different state. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. And so I got hired. I was wearing a jumpsuit and learning how to, you know, do guns and take people down and all this stuff.
Wow.
But it was weird because I was on the other side of what I grew up with. Like now I was seeing the boys who went away, who got in trouble when they were 16 by doing something so stupid, you know, but like those boys, now I'm seeing that type who are forgotten. Now I'm seeing them behind bars and how their life is. And it was a little like, it was very, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, and the profiling that goes on. And so I still saw the beauty in like humankind in there, like people who were doing life, and they would get up and they would be like gardening or going to work in prison or, and smile and crack a joke. And it just made me realize there's people out here who don't even, they have so much more than this person has. And they don't even choose to live life like this. And it made me realize like that I don't need to be there because I have more, I just have more and there's more for me.
Yeah.
And it made me realize, okay, I'm going to go. So I did that for about 3 years. I found my husband.
He was we love your husband.
Yeah. And so one day I just told him, I said, I want to go do hair. And he was like, what? And I'm like, I'll make the same amount of money I'm making here, if not more, you know, but I'll be happy. I can make my own schedule. And I remember watching even the men like braid each other's hair in prison. And I just, you know, and so, so my husband said, yeah, do it. I mean, I just felt better having that support, like financially.
Yeah.
And so I did that at 36 years old. I think I was maybe 35.
Girl, you look 36 right now, or 30.
I think I was, I don't know, I was in my 30s, my mid 30s. And and so I went back to school. I left the prison, took my retirement, and I said, I got to do this. And right out of school, I went to assisting somebody and making not, you know, they say assisting doesn't pay, and no, it doesn't. But I was in the right salon that I chose to be in, and I got all the education I needed to and the mentorship, and I just got inspired. And once I started coloring hair, that was it.
Game was over. That was it.
It's like all the creativity that I had been just dying to get out since I was, you know, I felt like I was 15 again. Yeah. And it's so hard to get that feeling back, you know, like I compare it to sometimes when you're on a roller coaster, you're like, oh, that was that feeling, you know, like
The butterflies. Totally.
And I got that relate. Back with hair. So,
That's beautiful. It's a couple takeaways. Definitely your ethics and the hardworking skills that parents, you know, provided and instilled in you and leaded by example, making you a great parent to your kids. And then, you know, with life, we hit lows and we hit like, it comes in threes, and you had a car accident, you only had $20, but what do? You still take that risk. You're still going to take that leap and just a faith to try it, to say like, at least I'm going to try it. And if I don't try it, at least I know that I've attempted and I put that effort out there. And then you accomplished, but you did the work. Like you put in the blood, the tears, the sweats, you know what I mean? All those hard days that you were, you know, struggling and wanting to manifest it. And then it finally did come to fruition when it was supposed to be time, when Cheetah was ready to be rebirthed and you know, retransformed. I love that story so much. Through that journey and then where you're at now, maybe more so now, what would you say, what practices or routines do you have that you've placed to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your business?
I mean, as far as my creativity goes, I really do have to make time for it. Especially when you get really busy. And, I don't like, you know, we get so caught up in like working. And we're like, no, like this appointment, this thing, this date, this. Mm-hmm. And then I think people tend to just like, I don't have time to be creative. I don't have time to do that. And you need to make creativity part of that agenda and part of those appointments. Like mm-hmm. I'm marking down when I'm going to do creative work, which doesn't seem very creative to me, but then I start to plan it.
Sure.
And then when I'm in it, I'm just like, thank God I made time for this because I really needed it, you know?
Mm-hmm. It feeds your soul.
That's kind of what I've been doing because I have been super, super busy the past, I guess, 2 years, really.
Yeah. That's blessed. Booked and blessed, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And your baby's also a cosmetologist now?
Yes.
You know, she's not a baby, but...
Yes, she is.
You guys are in the same new studio?
So no, actually, we were in a studio together, which you totally awesome. Inspired me to go the studio way,
aww,
which was you. Just, yeah, I was just like, I took that leap and I was like, you know what? You're right. Every time I saw you, every time I would talk to other people, but I was just like, no, I got to do it. So yeah, she went into the suite with me for about three years.
Mm-hmm.
And she realized she got stuck. I got stuck in Mexico a few years ago and she had to travel back by herself and she's never traveled. Like I always traveled by myself, but she's never traveled back. So, you know, of course they're going to be treating her like she's some mule. Like, what are you doing coming here, you know, coming back from Mexico? So she was just like traumatized by it.
Yeah.
And I think she realized then because I had COVID, I had to stay. And I think she realized then like, you know what, if my mom's gone, what, you know, what?
Yeah.
And I really saw that as her point. And ever since then, she had to take care of my clients for me. I was like, you're doing those bleach retouches. You're doing the, you know? And so she took care of my clients for me as I knew she could. And, she told me then, she's like, you know, she's always told me she's been more involved in like the manager, like, side of it. I don't think she really wanted to work with clients is what, you know? So she's going to go to nursing school.
Okay.
And you're going to love this because it's still beauty. She is going to do injections.
Of course. I'm here for it. That's the future. So, that's the now and the, and that makes so much sense. Cause I did see a switch in Julia's demeanor and confidence, skill and style. And oh, it was like a transformation. It was, she had a major like glow up, you know, but it was internal. So I feel, back to, I talk about this often, you know, when we're placed in difficult scenarios that we're faced to face ourselves and we're alone and we have to really decide like what it is that we're going to do to bring us joy, to uplift our soul and to make us feel whole. You know what I mean? So I'm so glad that she found that, that new like confidence and that she's going to pursue something that she's going to, you know, thrive in. I can see her doing really well in that. Like that's,
I do too.
So current.
She can break down everyone's look for me. She's like, they did this, they did that. And I'm like, okay,
there's an art to it.
There's
total art to it. So.
And yeah, I like it. So she will be eventually having a space in my suites that I am building out.
Very cool.
That's the goal. The
I love it. I love it. So cool. Okay. So every episode, I always kind of have a little bit of a exercise or a point of view or something to discuss. And I feel that both me and you have this in common as far as we're both caretakers, we're of service, we help uplift other people. We're also educators and mentors and teachers, essentially, right? But like Mama Ru says, how the hell are you going to love somebody else if you can't love your damn self first? I wanted to ask about Cheetah's self-care regimen. What do you do for you? Like, I know this morning you went to the gym, which I love, and I'm proud of you for that. But particularly in within our industry, like, what do you do for like your calming time, your mindfulness, your skincare regimen, your beauty? Like, what do you do? Because you always look so good, and your hair is always on point. Makeup is always good too. I've taught you a little bit of their stuff there. But yeah, share with us like what you do if you have a regimen or any kind of like, routine with that.
Okay. So to be, I want to share something that I think is important because I've seen people talk about like these things. And I'm like, I know so many people get, what's the word? Not, it's not frustrated. Well, anyways,
Impatient.
discouraged.
Okay,
Yes.
discouraged. Yeah.
And impatient, like, wow, I ain't got time for all that. But I'm gonna tell you, and I feel this, like, I look at myself because I have to be seen by my clients and seen
Yes.
on social
TV.
media. Yeah. And I look at myself and I could be so hard on myself. And to the point where I don't even think it's okay to look like a normal human being. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I
Like,
do.
and I'm like, wait, hold on. I'm in the beauty industry, and 'cause it's up to here, you know? But it's okay to like go run some errands with a fresh, clean face. You know? It's okay to not do your hair sometimes when you're running errands or if it's your day off. I really, really like just cherish that time because
Sure.
you know
It's being authentic, it's being raw and just kind
yeah
of
and
free.
you know I was working out like really good 2 years ago, and then my husband got in this accident, and he was in ICU, and I didn't
Yeah,
have
I
to,
saw that.
I wanted to be at the hospital with him every day. But I
Yeah.
also, what I would do is I would get up in the morning, and before that I was at the gym every day. I stopped going to the gym because in my mind, I felt guilty for feeling good. And I was like, and I was like, had anxiety. I was like, what if I'm so far away and I'm doing something and I'm feeling good and then he dies? Like, that was just, you know? So I felt like I had to be there for him. So when things like that happen in my life, I just like kind of start eating right, like really, really clean to kind
Okay.
of balance it out, you know?
Yeah.
So I did that for a while. And then when he got out and he was, you know, recovering, it was a long recovery of like,
I'm
even
so
when
grateful he's good, by the way.
thank you. Yeah. I mean, at one point I was going to work and at 5 o'clock, even if I had a client, one time I brought my, well, she's a really cool client, but I brought her home with her foils and she came to my house and was talking to my bird while I went in there and changed my husband's IV for his
Yeah.
medicine. And then we went back, you know, and like, I just made
Wow.
things happen, but I,
That's some Latino shit
right.
right
Right.
there.
And I really feel like I had to keep telling myself when I look in the mirror, take care of yourself, take care of yourself. And I'm gonna be completely honest. There was times I didn't.
Yeah.
There's times I look at, I'm like, oh my gosh, but I was doing the best I could. And that's okay. And I knew there
Yeah.
was gonna be a time that I was gonna get, I just had so much on my plate, you know? But I will tell you, eating right is what's going to help you not get sick. I mean, I feel like we've all learned this the past couple of years. So I eat very clean. I try to eat like mostly protein and vegetables, and I only drink water or tea or coffee. And I actually went to this woman who is, she does bioresonance. That's all I can say about it. She is a psychiatrist or a psychologist who is against prescription meds and helps you find how to balance your system with food and with minerals and things like that.
It's more
So,
holistic. I love
yeah.
that.
So I've been doing that for the past year, and that has helped my mood a lot because at one point I did get on like a mood state. I got on Lexapro. Because I was just like, wow, my dad had died, and then like 2 months later, my husband
Sorry
also.
for your loss. I know.
Yeah, and so my cortisol is just so high, and I could sit there and like I gained weight, and I could sit there, and I was on top of gaining weight. I'm gonna tell you what I was doing. I was jackhammering, okay, tile. Like I was like,
Dang.
yes, like we remodeled this house. Me and my husband remodeled our business that is a house that I'm turning into salon suites. So I did not stop, you know? And so like it was just my body, like, and my sadness, everything was all out of whack, my stress. So I really learned how to tune into that and take care of it with food. And not prescription drugs and lots of water. And when I watch movies, I watch like mindless things that are just simple and happy.
Silly, yeah.
Yeah, just simple and happy. And I don't drink only when I'm out of town, like visiting friends. I have no responsibilities because, I have goals that I want to achieve and I like to
Absolutely.
feel good. So I think that's it, kind of sums it up, right? How I take care of myself.
That's great. No, I love everything that you suggested, and this is why I wanted to create this safe space for my kings and queens and all in between, whether you're an alien like your sweater or a human or whatever you want to call yourself. You do have to take care of yourself though, period. And yes, that I relate to your story a lot because I'm also a caretaker and I did the same thing for my mom for 6+ years, basically the whole time since we met, because of that's when it started. My parents had gotten a divorce, so I almost lost the salon, because I was with her at her appointments every day, like crying for her to just have a bed and having her be rehabilitated and all these things. But for me, yes, I agree with all the stuff that you suggested. Clean whole foods, exercising. I'm on this, I'm going to start this January 1st with an accountability partner that I encourage you to do as well. It's called, and I've already talked about it in the last episode, so I apologize if you already heard this, but I encourage everyone participate. It's called Reflect 30 Day Reset. And the point of it is to retrain the brain and try to fight that little voice that tells you to be comfortable and to avoid taking risks. So it's a lot of challenging exercises, but a lot of mindfulness, for example, meditation, practicing gratitude, taking cold showers, doing a different kind of workout that you're not used to outside of your comfort zone, eating not processed food, just whole foods. No stimulants, which is basically everything that you're like talking about. But this also includes no caffeine, no sugars, no alcohol, practicing kind acts to strangers, visualizing, journaling. Like it's a checklist, right? That you check in with an accountability partner. But part of that for me, and I'm just speaking this on my experience, and because I work with mostly female clientele, I do a lot of male clients as well, but most of my makeup clients are mostly females and or identify as female, are looking into incorporating their skincare and makeup regimen as part of like their self-care. And I want to encourage whatever gender you are to, or if you don't identify as any gender, this is still good for you too, to take care of yourself, because setting some time aside, and for Cheetah, it is about the exercise and the eating clean whole foods and the avoiding the stimulants and having that selfish time for you.
I do wash my face every night, though.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate
I do. I put
that.
lotion on.
Lotion is great. I love it. But for me, it's just like that's my thing. Like I need to have that. It's just part of my mental health, to be honest with you. It's part of like my therapy to do the roller, to do the fix, the toners, the eye serums, the creams, the moisturizers. So my point is I try to encourage my clientele and my students, whoever I'm mentoring, to try to do that for yourself in whatever description that means for you. So that way you could be of service and be a better provider and caretaker for others, but you got to take care of yourself first. You know what I mean? You got to love yourself first.
You really
so that's
do.
why I wanted to talk about that. But thank you for sharing your insight on that. I'm so proud of you and your family, and your husband's better and thriving, and you guys are doing this really cool project together. Partnership is important. I see that in your relationship since we've met. You know, like, he's got your back, you've got his back, and I'm grateful that we both have partners that provide that for us, because I feel like we have a similar story where I helped Johnny with him. He transitioned out of entertainment into personal fitness, and then helped me transition when I wanted to branch off on my own as well. Cool. I love that. Okay. So what is the, I have this other little exercise. This is part of my favorite part of this podcast. It's called Wrapping Up Mindful Artist Rapid Cue. So wherever you are, when I ask a question, just intuitively let the answer come through. Okay.
Okay.
Don't think about it too hard. It's fun. Okay. It's fun. Okay. So question number one, Cheetah, who is your hero and why?
Who is my hero? My mom. As I get older, just realize how resilient and...
What's mama's name?
Frances.
Shout out to Frances.
How resilient and kind and smart. My God, she's so smart. She's like, I told you. I'm like, I know you did, and I'm sorry. Like, now I'm like, I'm sorry. You know what? You were right. And
she taught you well.
She taught me to never give up on people, which sometimes I look at her and I'm like, why are you like that? Like, just let them go. But then I'm like, nah, I get it.
Forgiveness is a thing.
It's a mother's love. So my mom is my hero. I think of how she carried me, how I don't know that really. We tend to not think of that. After, you know, and so, yeah, I'm like, no, yeah, I get it. Because I know how much I love my kids. And so I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, good. Jean's still letting you 100% because you're a great mother. Question number two, what is your favorite music album of all time and why?
My favorite music album of all time is probably, I mean, I don't even know of just one, but it's probably like that New Order one that has the colors all on it.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's just a really good one.
You let it play from track one to the last track.
Yeah.
That's the album I'm kind of talking about. Like, yeah, it's on repeat.
Yeah.
Love it. Yes, New Order. I knew you were going to pick something cool. All right. Last question. And this is question number three. What is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh my God, stop.
Why?
Because I think of all the sarcasm of like my parents or somebody. Like,
no, it's fine.
It's not going to be like a wise, you know.
No, you can do that. It can be funny. Listen, we don't have to take life so seriously sometimes. Yeah. It can just be about having fun. So give us a silly quote. I'll take it.
Okay. No, guys, I love this quote. Every time someone says it, I'm like, when they say it is what it is, I'm like, you know what? You're fucking
period.
Right.
Done. Let's do it. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Period. I love it. That's so cool. Thank you so much. Oh my God. That was so fun. Tell us about what's happening now. I know that you're developing a new space to have some more suites, but this is your time to plug in any like projects, and then where can we find you on all the socials and everything?
Okay. So right now I had a long journey of getting like the city planning and stuff wrapped up with this salon suites that I'm building.
Yeah.
In this really cool house. It's like a ranch style house that's right by the airport in Las Vegas. It's
what?
Really cool. And it has a swimming pool.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
And a big backyard. Yeah.
Why are you bringing Mexico to Vegas? That's amazing. Right? I know. Let's go rancho.
I know. And so that is wrapping up in 2024. So there'll be five available suites besides mine. Mine's the sixth one. Mm-hmm. And so I have that coming. I have also like this week, I'm actually purchasing another salon, which is just down the road. I
That's
know.
amazing.
I know.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
Dang.
so that's happening this coming week. And so what I did was, because right now I'm working in another salon, which the owner of this other salon totally took me in. They're so good to me.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about salons versus suites.
Yes.
I didn't want to go build out another suite somewhere while this was getting ready and all that. So
Yeah, you got to be responsible.
yeah, so I went into a salon for about, I think about 6 months now, 8 months, 16 months, and it was a small salon. So I'm like, I could do this. And you know, my friend Vanessa in California has
Yeah.
one. So I'm like, I could do this. I could totally do this. So this salon came up for sale, and that's where I'm at. So
Wow, wow,
I
wow.
like how it just kind of worked out that it's really close to my other business, and they can kind of cross promote each other. They can, when somebody's an assistant for a stylist here at the suites and they need a place to move on to, they can go move to the salon. And then if somebody at the salon chooses to go to a suite, it's like a, you know, it just kind of
You have
makes,
options.
yeah.
That's
So
incredible.
that's happening. And that is also right by the airport, right next to a Starbucks and everything. And a really cool ramen place. And then also I have my academy. I have two workshops scheduled for next year that will be either here at my it's called Salon House, but it's like HUS.
Yes.
So either here at Salon House or at the new salon, depending on how things are going, you know.
Sure.
But it is a workshop that I have made that is a 2-day workshop, but I have two-day workshops, and it's all on the Reimagined Stylist.
Yeah.
So that's on Instagram, or you could do the reimaginedstylist.com, and it has all like the sign up and everything. But I'm teaching, because I have a lot of people who wanted to assist me, and I can't let everybody come in, you know what I mean? And like
Sure.
2 to 3 hours of shadowing, or like I really want to mentor somebody and help them kind of have fun like I do, and kind of get to know a little bit of everything that has made me be able to work with different brands. And you know what, that would be including like working with wigs, extensions, hair color, but also stuff behind the chair that we don't learn in beauty school, like consultations and hair finishing and styling and
Right. All the details matter.
all the details. So that's what they are, two workshops, 2 different days. And yeah,
Girl, I am
so
so
that's
proud of you.
my,
Wow. That's incredible. It's like three businesses, basically. Yeah. You got the suites that are happening in the rancho. You got the salon that you're just purchasing, and then the academy, and that's incredible. And the mentorship. This is what I'm talking about, you guys. What a great story to have had your family support and instill all these ethics and responsibilities, and having you be so well-rounded as a nurturer and a caretaker. But also that too, like that's something else that I've always loved about you, is that you give so much of you, to others. And it's never half-assed. You really think about all the details. Anytime I've worked with you in any capacity, whether it was on the competition show or even just when we collaborated together, it was always magical. And I can see why everybody wants to assist you to receive some of that energy and that magic with them. So I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. Well earned, well deserved. Everything that you have been wanting to fulfill is happening right in front of us. In the past 6 years, you've grown so much. And you guys, go follow. Where can we follow you?
Cheetah Bisseau, Chita Bisseau. Yeah, just
Yeah.
Cheetah Bisseau.
And then do you have websites for, it's probably like on the link tree of that bio link.
Yes, everything's on the
Perfect.
link tree. And then also they could go to the Reimagined Stylist
.com.
or on Instagram too.
Got it. That's true. Okay. Well, I'll put everything in the description so they can follow that as well. Cheetah, thank you so much for being here. You're such a delight and beauty, and I'm so grateful to have you in my life still 6+ years. Let's keep it going and support each other. And for everyone else out there, thank you so much for listening to our story and to Cheetah's journey. And just make sure that you make an impact in someone else's life. That song you're about to hear is Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by Aaron McClendon. Go download it wherever you stream your favorite services. And share this podcast. Give us a review. Let us know what you think are, what your thoughts are. And if you are a creative person that balances spirituality while being an entrepreneur and being creative, email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. And I'd love to have you on this show to continue to show, spread the love, light, and much love and light to you all. Take care. Bye, Cheetah.
I love you.
I love you. Mwah.